surtout Mélenchon, déjà présenté comme le prochain Premier ministre. Alors, merci à vous deux. C'était un plaisir de vous avoir et puis à très bientôt.
Funky Revolutions for the fattest of the funk and other liberation musics. Saturdays 2 to 4 p.m. Pure funk and the shuffle of people marching in the streets. On CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Everything I do gonna be funky.
Revolution.
Sur les ondes du peuple, 90,3 MF. J'espère que vous allez bien et j'espère que vous allez rester des nôtres. Aujourd'hui, une programmation spéciale qui signale, en fait, peut-être un retour à un meilleur temps. Avant COVID, il y a 2 ans, CKUT a invité des musiciens pour des prestations enregistrées live à la radio, qui sont ensuite diffusées sur notre site web, ckut.ca, et sur YouTube, cherchez CKUT Sessions. Après 2 ans, il m'a fait un grand plaisir d'accueillir en direct, dans notre petite salle, Paul Caraniello and The Truth. Artiste montréalais, bilingue, 18 albums à son effectif, Paul Caraniello, artiste, compositeur, musicien et producteur engagé. Je vous invite donc de visiter notre site web ckut.ca ou juste faire une recherche sur YouTube CKUT Sessions pour visionner leurs prestations sur les ondes du peuple à Montréal, le Mothership Connection avec moi-même Khalid, Funky Revolutions.
With great pleasure that we welcome to the tiny room that is CKUT Sessions, Paul Caraniello and The Truth. And if anyone can lyrically and rhythmically free your mind so that our ass can follow, this is Montreal Zone.
Yup, yup, yup. easy. Oh, don't you doubt. Oh, baby, don't you doubt my abilities. Rolling by like a thundering shout. I could hear you calling me. You gave one note, one touch, and it was trouble. You said, you either dig your way out or dive deep within the rubble.
Last year, I released two records, and this is off of the French record called Peut-être. It's called Elle est née.
Yeah.
Merci.
Thunder pound, yeah, it's about to pour. Before the
where you heard footsteps in the dark. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Up on the top floor. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Near the commissary hall close to the mark. Ooh, ooh, ooh. She doesn't need you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Maybe that's the way you like your paper tone. For sure it seems true. Listen to the wind, how it's about to fall. So, right under the Vendetta's poster. So, yeah, I'm gonna go back to my rock and roll days a bit here. This one's called Don't Care. And, like, I write so much politically conscious stuff and so much revolutionary stuff, and I'm always trying to stay positive. But every once in a while, I just don't care. So, this is the cynical side of it. The whole activist thing. Comes out every once in a while. I'm not gonna dumb it down. I don't feel that far from grace. I want the fools to remember me as wiping the grin right off the face. I'm not gonna tear it all down. I don't revel in that destruction. I want the dipshits to know they stand in the mess of their own creation. Flick of my wrist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We don't really care.
So I want to finish swimming the bayou. There's like a musical revolution that happened in New Orleans. And this one's called Zozo La Brique. Take the opportunity to just thank CKUT from the bottom of my heart. CKUT was there when I was just starting out. I mean, I think about shows like Underground Sounds and Funky Revolutions and Primetime and all this stuff for me, that seminal stuff in my life. And you guys always supported me and played me, and I always appreciate it, and it always meant a lot to me. And happy 35th. Vive la Révolution. Right here on the Shaker singing vocals, Satellites, Jasmine Bliley. On the drums, in the colorful sweater.
I already know, baby.
Hanzo, Fran Celestin.
Oh, yeah.
All the way from Brooklyn. Over here, on the bass. The other person that I would marry if I wasn't already married to my wife. James Challenger on the bass and vocals.
You know I wish I had Jesse's girl.
James Challenger. My brethren and my soldier in arms.
Right.
All right. So I got only one question. Here we go. A T.U. A T.U.
Sweetheart.
A T.U.
Sweetheart.
A T.U.
Sweetheart.
A T.U.
Sweetheart.
T.U.
Sweetheart.
Ti-oo,
Sheila,
Ti-oo,
Sheila,
I did.
Merci, CKUT. This is 35 more.
Paul Caraniello and the Truth, recorded live on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is Funky Revolutions. Feels so good to have had artists in our tiny room at this station to record this performance. You can watch their performance by going to our website, ckut.ca, or going to YouTube and looking up CKUT Sessions. This was a project started before COVID, where different shows would invite artists to perform live at the station. Their performances are put up on the web. If you're interested in hearing this set, watching it again, from Paul Caraniello and The Truth, go to our website, ckut.ca. Fortuitous invitation, as Paul Caraniello released two albums in 2021. Lies with The Truth, and a solo project where he played all of the instruments in French called Peut-être. In the month of May, there will be a double release of the albums on vinyl. And so we thought it would be a great occasion to meet Paul Caraniello and The Truth, have them perform live. My name is Khalid, and this is Funky Revolutions. We meet in a moment this artist with over 18 albums, member of the Vendettas and Skinny Brothers. You can check him out on Bandcamp with the 18 albums he's put out. He's also a very active producer, as we'll find out in a moment. We'll be back after these brief messages in conversation with Paul Caraniello.
Pangea de Futura is a mega jam collective comprised of many veterans of the Montreal music scene, a wide range of tectonic plates coming together, making the world stop for a second and ripping these continents apart. CKUT 90.3 FM is proud to present their concert in collaboration with CHYZ 94.3 on Sunday, May 22nd at 3 p.m. at the 38th Festival International de Musique Actuelle de Victoriaville. For all the details on the 38th FIMAV, visit fimav.qc.ca.
Funky Revolutions, funky.
Funky Revolutions, funky.
Hey, hey, hey.
Funky Revolutions,
whoa,
funky.
Hey, hey, hey.
Funky Revolutions, funky. You are listening to Funky Revolutions.
Paul Caraniello, Funky Revolutions, thank you for coming in and thank you for mobilizing The Truth to come and perform in the tiny room for CKUT Sessions. It's really appreciated. I wanted, first of all, for Paul Caraniello to tell us about Paul Caraniello, the troubadour.
Right. Well, I've been around for 1,000 years. I've always composed and written songs since as far back as I can remember. When I was, I must have been about 7 or 8. And I fell in love with music, right? I was learning violin at one point. My parents were trying to get me into music, but I hated every minute of it until somebody handed me a guitar. And then at 8 years old, I just started to learn immediately, and I began to write immediately. So, you know, that the troubadour tradition, the guitar player with one voice and one acoustic, has been the goal since the beginning. And honestly, like, since I could play one or two chords, I've been writing songs. I mean, mind you, when I was 8, my influences were like the Beach Boys and, you know, New Kids on the Block.
And things have evolved quite a bit from that point on. But like, you know, I liked Corey Hart back then, and he's got some banging tunes. And so it's funny because, you know, it's always been there. I've always needed to write. I've always needed to, at least I've needed to create, I've been needing to create since I could.
That creation is marked, let's talk about it, musicianship, songwriting, singing, production, collaboration, but clear kind of spirit behind it, a kind of idea, a vision, an engagement.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Well, I mean, like, I think it's almost like an obligation at this point. I think people who have the chance, this is a really privileged position to sit in front of a microphone. It really is a privileged situation to play a show in front of 50,000 people. You know what I mean? Like, you get opportunities to be in front of huge amounts of people. And I think it would be criminal if I weren't to talk about things that bothered me, but things that I think could be improved. I think my revolutionary politics and the very progressive politics that I hold very dear run hand in hand with the creation of it. And you know, I mean, like I said, there was a song there that I played. It's quite cynical. It's called "Don't Care," and it's, you know, I want the dipshits to know. You know, it's kind of a cynical like slap, but it's also saying, you know, we've been here. Well, why aren't people listening to us? You know, there are people talking about how, like, talking about anti-racism for a long time. Listen to them. You know, if you had listened to them, maybe the convoy wouldn't have become what it was. You know, if you just listened. And I just consider myself part of that movement. Now, I'm never going to be so sort of egomaniacal to think that I can change the world with what I'm doing, but there's no question that, you know, my role is to just maybe contribute to something that is already there inside people. There may already be, you know, somebody in high school who, you know, I don't know, a guy in high school who didn't think, who didn't know he could say support feminism, you know, to go out and support feminism and to say it and to express it, and who just does it, who was too scared to. And it's like, just to be there and say it and to, you know, I think that really contributes to something. And that's all I'm there for. I mean, I know I'm not changing the world with a song, but I can definitely contribute to the voice of change.
Make it better.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I can build something, you know, inside you, inside the listener.
Do you think that, I mean, your musical genres are extensive, you know, there's a punk rock element, there's a reggae element, there's a funk element, there's great diversity and really surprising mix and variety of musicians with whom you've collaborated as a producer or as a musician songwriter. Do you think that kind of punky spirit is tied to this engagement that you're talking about, this necessity?
I think so. I mean, the musical movements that I've always found the most interesting. Punk rock is an interesting movement. It really is interesting. I'm not going to say the whole thing is interesting, but I mean, the Clash have done something interesting and have went and explored hip hop before it was called hip hop. You know, if you go and listen to Betty Davis, it's proto punk. You know, it's funky. There's no question, but it's heavy too. And so there's this weird cross section of things that are happening. Hip hop it's constantly revolutionary politics is woven into it. I mean, it's a bit commodified now, but you know, the hip hop where rap started was from a place of rebellion and a place of struggle, and punk rock too. Those are the musical genres that have always interested me, and I've always been naturally attracted to. You know, even I remember back in the day when I was in the Vendettas, so that was my punk band from a long time ago. We were always doing, you know, I had been listening to so much King Tubby, and people would go like, okay, they're a ska band because we were white guys and we were playing reggae, but it wasn't that. You know, I was really trying to get into that King Tubby dub, slowed down, delayed tones. But it's not a coincidence that, you know, that the punk rock side of me was so attracted to the roots rock rebels, you know? And, you know, luckily for bands like The Clash, they already sort of paved that way, going and exploring music, exploring genres, exploring themes, exploring vulnerable themes. A really important lyric for me, I remember, was Joe Strummer when he wrote, anger can be power, let fury have the hour. And it's just like, it's such like a, you know, it's a protest. It is a protest song. But it's also something that just, it's so self-empowering that I remember, you know, when I would hear that, I'd be like, yeah, that's exactly what I want my songs to say. So, you know, my diversity is not just about my interests. It's also about, like, you know, my surroundings here in Montreal too. Like, there's no growing up in NDG without knowing Shades of Culture, you know, and without knowing who they are, without Jakarta being an influence, somebody you're going to run into too and play shows with. So, you know, that cross-pollination was happening throughout my youth.
Cross-pollination, because you sing and produce both in English and in French. And in fact, we're kind of today with the session is the forthcoming release of the double vinyl of the two albums from 2021.
Yeah.
So today we had The Truth, which is the album Lies, Paul Carignano and The Truth, the English, mostly English, the record. And then there was the more stripped down Peut-être, which really had, you know, essentially that the French flavor. And you've had quite a good success here in Quebec with some of your French music. How do you see that, Paul Carignano, the Quebec? How do you see that, this particularity of a place like Montreal in Quebec?
Well, I mean, it's a great richesse, you know, as we say in Montreal, in Quebec. I'm incredibly lucky. I've been able to touch two huge markets. I've been able to tour in France. I've been able to do really well in Quebec, but I've also been able to go to the States and go to Canada and, you know, do the rest of Canada, the ROC. It's a really interesting place to come out. And it's so funny that people here are fighting to protect one language. You know, you have these Anglophones who refuse to speak French, or you have these Francophones who are just fighting for the right to be unilingual, because we're so lucky. And I have benefited so much. But I will say, it's a very complicated thing to consolidate those two sides of my career, because I've had such a strange pop success in French. And it's like, I mean, like number one hits, and you know what I mean? Like chart topping commercial radio on one side. And then on the Anglo side, you know, I've had some really great successes with my record Promises and stuff, but it's you know, more underground. And it's so funny because it's really allowed me to benefit from these two scenes, but it is a very difficult thing to consolidate. And I'm not sure how it happened or why. But I think it's just Quebec just loves when an Anglophone makes an effort, and they just like, it's so charmant to have an accent, and they're just like, oh man, you're trying and it's so great and we love you and you're ours now, you know, and you're forever theirs. Quebec has this crazy star system, and once you're in there, you're kind of in there for life. Like, you will always be referenced, you know, they'll always talk about you, le prochain Jim Corcoran, you know, I'm always like, you know, mentioned, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I appreciate it very much, but it's a difficult thing to consolidate, because sometimes people do research in my career and then they realize like, oh man, this guy's organized some radical stuff and he's politically very outspoken, and they know me from these pop hits, you know, it's like, it's a pop song they heard on the radio, and they didn't realize the context is so political. And, I like tricking people into politicizing them too. It's kind of fun.
Do you actually sit in a different pocket if you're singing French?
Yeah.
And versus English, do you sit in a different place there?
Well, it's about, well, definitely writing lyrics, because honestly, when I write in French, I have to seek out a simplicity. I mean, it's not my mother tongue, you know? So, when I write in English, I get to be complex and esoteric, and I can hide what I'm trying to say, and everybody goes, oh, it's clever, and I don't know what it's about. But in French, I have to lean on a simpler vocabulary, and it's two different skills, and the turns of phrase are different, and you really want to hit those marks, and you really want to make it work, so there is a different kind of flow. But mind you, not in my vocal style, which makes it really, really interesting to have that sort of like Anglophone attack. And there is an Anglophone attack where, you know, we are syllabic. We have faster syllables. We're like more mumbly, and we don't care if we understand the lyrics, you know. In French pop songs, there'll be sometimes we'll send a song to the radio and they'll be like, oh, we're not going to play this because we don't understand the words, you know. Like, we don't care. Anglophones don't give a shit about that stuff. But in the French world, they really want you to enunciate properly and stuff. So sometimes my delivery, keeps me off the charts. But it also makes me a very unique singer in French too. There's a little bit of that Anglo edge that I bring to it.
In terms of this kind of diversity, I was really interested in your production work as well, because I was actually surprised by how many albums in a very different pollinated spaces. Yeah. Talk a little bit about your production work. I mean, from one of the first Canadian albums signed to Tuff Kong, to very different. Where did that arrive? How did that achieve itself?
When I go home, I put on a lot of hip hop. I mean, I grew up in, you know, I was 14 in 1993. So there's, you know, it's inevitable. I was influenced by a lot of hip hop, a lot of New York hip hop, a lot of East Coast hip hop, but also a lot of dancehall. So when I was growing up, you know, me and my wife, we would go out on Wednesdays and dancing, you know, and it would be Beanie Man and, you know, Buju Banton and Buru Banton. And anyway, so Lady Saw, I remember, you know, these are just such great records that came out. And it's I've absorbed it so much. And the minute that when I'm producing for other people, now I know that I can't fake it. You know, I'm not gonna go and try to pretend like I'm a reggae singer or something. But but musically, I know how to get those tones. You know, I know how to, you know, Tuff Gong wouldn't take just anybody. You know, from Canada. You know, we have like we're coming from a way further place. You know, this isn't Yard. We have to impress. Yeah. So I know how to go and get those bass tones and just play it so that it's loose but still tight and still relevant and still touching the old school. So for me, like reggae and hip hop are probably the two things that I like when I produce beats, let's say, quote unquote beats, that's what I'm producing from home, you know? And I work so much in hip hop. Yeah, but I got, see, Jonathan Emile is one of those, Johnny is
well,
one of those.
That's the record I'm thinking about.
This is one, yeah. One of these great artists from Montreal as well, you know, and he's really well known like around the world, but like Montreal, we don't give him enough appreciation. Like so much hip hop and so many hip hop artists, we don't give them enough appreciation in the city. But he's, you know, when he was finally branching out and doing a reggae album, because he does a lot of hip hop too, but when, you know, he was getting in touch with his own roots and he's Jamaican, and he was like, I really want to do a Jamaican record. He was like reaching out to Tuff Gong, and he knew he needed to work with a producer from the city that could pull this shit off. And he called me because we had worked together in a side project that I had with my brother called Skinny Bros. And Skinny Bros is a project that we were just like, let's just have fun with this. We were producing instrumentals, and it wasn't hip hop. It was funk, all kinds of different iterations of funk, let's say. And we would just bring in guests. That's the whole concept. And we managed to, you know, bring in some huge guests and shed a little spotlight on, you know, Montreal production. Now my brother's in Toronto. But like there was that little moment where we were working with so many people, and so many people were coming through my studio. And I think that's when I made the biggest name for myself as a producer, working with Skinny Bros, because we were just doing so many collaborations. And John is the one who brought me, you know, he brought me Maxi Priest, you know, he was talking with Maxi Priest, and he was the one who was talking with KRS-One too. So even that collaboration that Skinny Bros did with KRS-One, and James DeSalvio from, Brand Van 3000, it was, John called me and he was like, I'm speaking to KRS-One. And I was like, okay, I'm getting Brand Van right now. I'm doing a show with Brand Van. So why don't we get them all on a track? And we did it. And every once in a while, the magic happens, and those are the moments that you know, as a producer too, you get a little better. You start working with people that are from outside of your circle, and then you suddenly you learn so much more. My principle is that I always surround myself with people who are way, way better than me, and I'm in constant learning mode. I'm constantly have to stay alert, because one false step and you're out. You know, I really, that's the goal. And producing wise, like I love producing, like I've produced some punk groups, but like I've also, you know, I worked with this guy, Shem G, who's a great hip hop artist from Montreal, a freestyler too. So his skills are great. I'm working with even Jasmine. You saw the singer that performed with me, Satellites. Who used to be in Ladies of the Canyon. So, you know, she was part of a big Canadian folk touring band. We did a sort of blue-eyed soul record, you know, and I kept pitching stuff like Hall & Oates and Michael McDonald, and, you know, like, that's where I want to go take it. And I love that people who work with me understand that it's really a one-on-one thing, you know. I did this record with Clarell, too. It isn't out yet, but Clarell just finished a record with me, and it's a beautiful record, and you know he came in, and it's very quiet, and but it's very him. It reflects Clarell so well, and it was just me and him in the studio, just jumping on different instruments, and it was so much fun. But it, again, forces me to learn, and my studio becomes a kind of happening spot.
Nice.
It's become a real Montreal hotspot for recording. Oh,
trying to discover who I be. And now I'm telling you it don't look good. That's why I'm trying to put on my boots. It don't fit. Trying to throw out the door to explore. Now I'm stuck because they tell me I cannot leave.
Because it's time for tomorrow. Yes, it's time for tomorrow. Because it's time for tomorrow.
Our Tomorrow, featuring Ezra Lewis and the Adam Brown, featured on the album Lies from Paul Caraniello and The Truth, our guest on today's program. To check out Paul Caraniello and The Truth's performance in our tiny music room here as part of CKUT Sessions, you can watch the video on YouTube by checking out CKUT Sessions or by checking out our website at ckut.ca. My name is Khalid, and in conversation, Paul Caraniello. This is Funky Revolutions on the People's Power Station in Mount Real. We'll be back after these brief messages.
I know it's wrong to be playing blues. I know that. But if you can make you a little something out of it, I don't think it'd be too hard to get forgiven for that, trying to make a living.
Give me mercy. I said, give me mercy. Give me mercy.
Straight toe tapping, foot stomping, and hand clapping. God, 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 God.
Are you ready? I want to know, is everybody ready? All right. Here we go. One, two, three.
It's the revolution, baby. It's the revolution, baby. Oh, they televising this shit right now.
The revolution is here.
Check the grammar.
Serious truth. Funk insurgency. Man the guns.
Check the grammar.
Leading the revolution.
Funky Revolutions. The Mothership Connection on CKUT 90.3. FM in Montreal.
Flintstone funky music, y'all.
Saturdays, 2 to 4 p.m.
Flintstone funky music, yeah. Watch me hit that.
Push it to the bone now. To the bone now.
Rebel.
Open your ears and you'll hear.
On the Mothership Connection with myself, Khalid, we continue in our second hour with our conversation with Paul Caraniello. He and The Truth put out the album Lies last year. It was one of two albums put out by Paul Caraniello in 2021. Paul Caraniello also released Peut-être, an album for which he did all of the instrumentation and production work, an album in his second language, French. We continue with our conversation with Paul Caraniello and invite you to check out their live performance we featured earlier in this program by checking out our website at www.ckut.ca.
I was really impressed by the diversity and the breadth of the musicians that you've worked with, and I was like, all right, and you know, they don't all sound the same. So there's definitely, you're adapting yourself to this encounter with the other.
Yeah.
I found that really interesting. So there's the Vendettas early on, and this project with your brother, Skinny Bros.
Yeah.
but collaboration has been there. Like, and I, there's definitely a funk pickup over the last few years. I mean, with The Truth, you feel that. The album a couple of years ago, Montreal R&B. As a good example of collaborations, and if I understood right, that was songs that you wrote that didn't fit your voice.
Yeah, like there's, you know, that Montreal R&B record was such a great record. I still think to this day it's the best record I ever done, and the reason is because I got singers to come in who are, and when we talk about surrounding myself with people who are way better than me, you know, when I open my mouth, I sound like a rock and roller. I can't escape it. You know, it's just there's a timbre in there. I can't get rid of it. But I compose in so many different styles, and of course I listen to Al Green, and you know, I love soul music, and I love disco, and I love funk, and you know, sometimes I can make it work, and I can be a punk rocker who likes that stuff, no problem. But Montreal R&B was one of these albums where I got to call all my friends. And I was just like...